Welcome back to the Mix Files. Our guest this week is Brian Brooks, a fine human being and an excellent musician. You'll see. You're listening to some of his music now. The Mix Files premieres an interview with a different Mixposure.com artist each week and airs it during Saturday Night Rocks, which is a live radio program on Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com. Saturday Night Rocks airs from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time till around midnight, sometimes a little bit later. We certainly hope you enjoy the Mix Files this evening, or afternoon, or morning, or whatever it happens to be, wherever you are. People listen to this from around the world. An artist on Mixposure.com and would like to have a Mix Files, we may be able to arrange that. The Mix Files has its own page on Mixposure.com. You can type into your internet browser Mixposure.com/Mix Files, M-I-X-F-I-L-E-S. One word, no spaces, no underlines, no anything. Hit your enter button or do your magic incantation or whatever it is whatever your agreement is with your browser, and come to Mixposure.com. That'll take you directly to the Mix Files page. You can contact me there. You'll see the contact button on the menu. Just send me an email, tell me you're interested. You have to be a member of Mixposure.com to send me the message, and you must be a member of Mixposure.com to have a Mix Files. There's no money involved in this. We don't charge for it. I don't get paid for it. It takes me about 20 hours to put one together. I love every single second of it. Every single second. Here we go, Brian Brooks. Sit back, enjoy yourself. This is fun. Is there a story when everything takes forever? Did you have a piece of that, or was that something that just flashed to you all at once, or how did that come to you?
Well, there's a kind of a prequel to it in a way, because I started playing in a band when I was in Rio, and we ended up doing some gigs and so on. But we used to meet every, I think it was Wednesday night, in a rehearsal studio, and we'd just play loud music. You know, it was a rock band.
Yes, and yes. I've been in a band where the only objective was to play loud music.
That's
and,
it.
And we could do it too.
that's the beauty of a rehearsal room, is that you can make as much noise as you like.
Yes, yes.
And the bass player in the band, his kids were in the same school as my kids, so we used to meet in the mornings, and we'd have a cup of coffee, and we'd both go off to work and leave the kids at school. And he was, at the time, we'd mostly been doing kind of, not exactly covers, but our own versions of stuff. And he over a cup of coffee, and this is about sort of 8 o'clock in the morning, uh-huh, on a Tuesday, he said, okay, we've got the usual get together tomorrow night. He said something to me which really kind of got me going. He said that you can't write new music anymore. It's all been done. And I remember asking my mother this question when I was very, very small. And I said, well, there are only a certain number of notes in an octave. Surely all of those notes have been used.
Yes.
and she said to me something that I'd never forgotten. She said, well, in fact, it's a mathematical thing where the possibilities are practically infinite. So you can always come up with new combinations. So I actually bet this this bass player, that I would come up with a new song the next night for rehearsal. And that song was Paint the Town, which is the first one on the list that we have here.
Uh-huh.
And then because it's an interesting phenomenon that because I had a band, it seemed to get me going in terms of writing music and having an outlet for it. So I went into a spree of writing at that point, and I wrote, I don't know how many pieces of music, some of which saw the light of day.
Yeah.
And Everything Takes Forever, I think, was probably very early on in that process. And also the reason for that song was it was the first track on the album, and it was about being lost at sea. And in the 70s, I was based in New York in the States. I don't know if you remember an airline called Freddie Laker.
I do not.
And he used to fly back and forth. It was called the Bucket Brigade. And I was living out at the time in Queens in New York. And I used to hang out in an Irish bar, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And
wife is from Queens.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
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 And
I have been to a few Irish bars in Queens.
There you go. and they tend to serve very good pints of Guinness.
Yes, they do.
So I used to go there, and I used to wait for a standby, and they would phone the bar when there was an available seat, and I would jump on the subway and go out to the airport and go back to England. So I was going back and forth so often at that point that I kind of felt like I was very transatlantic.
Uh-huh.
So maybe I felt a little bit like I was lost at sea. So that song kind of illustrates those feelings.
do you recall the genesis of the idea for this? I know we talked about the Paint the Town, and then that got things going, and this is one of the tunes that flew from or flowed from that, I think that's the impression I got. Was that an accurate?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
But do you recall what the genesis of the was it just were you just jotting down ideas and there were tons of them coming to you, and you went back and you looked at a piece of paper later and saw something there that struck a chord with you that made you go back? Or did you have the idea for it and start writing it immediately? Or was it something different?
Well, it's a good question, because I think some songs come from a lyrical idea. You got a few words, and then you start putting those words to music. But very often the idea, for me anyway, comes from more the musical aspect, where I've just got the music, and then I start, it gets me thinking about certain things, and I start putting certain lyrics and melodies together.
Uh-huh.
And I think the original genesis for Everything Takes Forever was that when you strap on a electric guitar, you know, a Stratocaster or whatever, and you plug it in and you hit a chord, usually the most natural chord to start off with is an E major, because that's the sort of the full sound of the guitar. So that's, and that's, I thought that would be a nice way to start the album, because it's that full E major guitar sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking, well, where can you go from there that's interesting? And there's a semitonal change in it that goes into the chorus that's actually quite unusual, I think, in terms of rock music. Mm-hmm. And I try and stay, there's a balance I try to get between having a structure to the song where the listener doesn't get lost. They kind of know where things are going. That's the first verse, that's the second verse, that's chorus, that's middle eight, and back to a verse and so on. But also trying to bring in a few surprises as well.
Yeah. Do you do online collaborations?
I haven't really done much with that. I sort of stuck my toe in the water and put the word out to try and do some. I had Stephen Foster...
Uh-huh.
Did some harmony vocals on a track. What I have been doing is a kind of collaboration. It's pre-production. I record stuff with WAV files that I send to this guy who's doing some production work for me.
Uh-huh.
And we bat ideas back and forth until we get something that's workable in terms of arrangement, composition, before we go into the main studio and record, you know, HD and all that stuff.
Yes.
So in a way, that's the only kind of collaboration that I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I'd love to do more, but I haven't really got the ball rolling on that, I must confess.
Yeah, well, the list of things I want to do is probably like you. It's a mile long, and it's a matter of not just which is the highest priority, but sometimes things just fall into place to do something and don't want to turn something down, you know, when all the pieces of the puzzle are just, and the planets are all aligned. And Stephen Foster and I did a collab, A Big City Cowboy.
Yep.
And you've heard it?
Yeah, I've listened to your stuff over the months. So I had a listen right the way through today.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Very much enjoyed it.
Thank you. I had had those lyrics for 27 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had had two different, I had the tune two different ways with music and didn't like either way that I had it. And I sent the lyrics to Stephen, and it wasn't but 2 days later he sent me a real rough mix of the basic idea of what he had in mind. And that was, it was like I found a lost child. It was like, that's what it was supposed to be.
That's great.
And I could never, it never came to me, but that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah. Brings a smile to your face, doesn't
it? Oh yes. Yes. Mm. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
Where do your ideas for tunes come from? Have you ever dreamed a tune, a song?
I think I have. Yeah, I've woken up with, in fact, Sometimes you do have a dream that's got some music in, and if you wait too long after you've woken up, it's gone.
Yes.
So I know some people that sleep with a notepad next to their bed or a little tape recorder or something, you know, just to catch ideas. But yeah, a lot of my stuff starts with a very basic idea, very basic riff. In fact, one of the ones that I think you might be playing tonight just started with one line. And they come from strange places. I mean, I find traveling for some reason on my own is very good for songwriting. I get ideas when I'm on coaches and buses and trains and planes and all that kind of stuff. I guess everyone's got their own time and place where the ideas come through. I think the fact that, you know, sometimes one line, the one I was thinking of was, I've got it number 3 in the list, which is Long Distance Runner.
Yes.
And I used to, when I was living in Brazil, which is probably something that will come up in the conversation, mm-hmm. I used to teach English in immersion courses, and we'd get an air-conditioned van to bring us down from the mountains back down to sea level in Rio de Janeiro. And I just had this one line, which was every day keep slipping away. And then I just sat down with the guitar and gradually built the whole thing up. In terms of dreams, I think I must have them. I know I have them, but I don't usually remember anything from them. But my family always laugh at me because I'm always going around humming tunes to myself. So I've got sort of things going on in my head all the time. And that's why it's so nice to have recording gear these days. We can sort of do something with those things that are in our heads and get them out.
Keep slipping away. Every night my tears drive me home. Every day gets further away, but every night on the telephone I'm busy thinking about the loneliness of the long distance. Lost in a crowded space without a lover, and I've been dreaming about the emptiness of a long forgotten summer, calling the only place without a cover. Gets further away, but every night on the telephone I'm busy thinking about the loneliness of the long distance runner, lost in a crowded space. Of a long
Quarters of Power. That yep. that seems to me to be a statement song. I think it's not a finger pointing song particularly, but it's a statement song, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was as I mentioned before, I was teaching English mostly to. I started off for several years teaching people mostly in the public sector in Brazil. So they were working in banking. Mm-hmm. So I was working with people from central banks, from Federal Reserve, and they were telling me things that made me realize what was probably going to happen in terms of the banking system collapsing.
Yeah.
And so you're right. I'm not pointing the finger necessarily at any sort of political movement or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's talking about the power of Wall Street and all of that stuff. And that was sort of the lyrical aspect of it. Another aspect was the fact that I had a recording session coming up and I didn't have many lyrics written. So I wrote that very, very fast. Probably, I mean, a song like Long Distance Runner, which we mentioned before, took me a long time to write. I say long time, took a lot of effort. But Corridors of Power, I did the whole thing probably in about 20 minutes. But in a musical aspect, there's an instrument that I've played for years called sometimes called a bouzouki, which is Greek, obviously, and sometimes called a cittern, which is sort of more the maybe British Isles version. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to play that on a track. So that was the one that it starts off with chords on the bouzouki. It's a nice sound. I like it.
Thank you.
foreign soil, the Dow Jones is flying. Got to keep the competition on their knees. Nanking, Beijing, marketers are trying to separate the forest from the trees. On the phone, Massimo, there's marchings by the hour, running down the corridors, running down the corridors, running down the corridors of power. Private plane, we can't complain, the champagne by the hour, running down the corridors, killing all.
Side of the Sun. Now that was, yep. wasn't that a song of the week on Exposure?
It got popular for a short while, very much thanks to Nigel Potter. He had a sort of a corner of the forum, which he shared with someone else on Exposure. Can't remember the name. And they'd sometimes would highlight a song, and so he mentioned having heard the song, and gave me a very kind review of it. And so for a short while, it got some exposure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had any sort of song of the week or whatever. Maybe I had and didn't realize. But yeah, it got popular for a short time.
Well, I don't know if I have a piece of information that I'm dying to share with you, but I'm and I've already said it now, so I'm going to have to share it with you. But I'm going to ask you, if you would please, not to let this out of the bag just yet.
Sure.
It'll be there'll be things on Mixposure about it on Friday. But you're the artist of the month for February on Mixposure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's made my year, man. I tell you. Absolutely brilliant news.
Of you and me ever. never winning. When all is said and done, I don't mean to seem downhearted, nor do I want to spoil the fun. But there's no way the two of us could stay on this side of the sun. All the bets that we were placing, when Lady Luck would never smile, and all the horses we were racing, from the furlong to the mile. Crazy nights in some casino, and all those hands we could have won. Let's try to pick up all the pieces on this side of the sun. Jack of Diamonds was a traitor, the Queen of Hearts was but a child. To save the aces up for later, in the land of kings and jokers wild. Russian roulette or a round of poker, pontoon, blackjack or 21. Losing time and getting broker on this side of the sun. We can only do what we are able before the music starts. Throw our cards on the table, the ace of spades or the jack of hearts. We don't need to beg or borrow, so let's not go and jump the gun. The time is ours until tomorrow on this side of the sun.
It's amazing, anyone with the inclination to learn and a computer can find a way to make some music now.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that is part of it as well, is sort of keeping hold of ideas that are in your head and trying to sort of delve into them a little bit. And one thing I was going to mention is that it sounds a bit strange to say, but some of the stuff I've written has been kind of like premonitions, and there are a couple of examples of that on the playlist we have here.
Which one comes to mind first?
Last Saturday before last, I think, when I tuned into Saturday Night Rocks, and you played a short instrumental piece called Prologue.
Uh-huh.
And what that was taking a lot of the effects of a lot of sounds from the music that we'd recorded for the LP, and playing them all together, And it just turned out by coincidence that there were a couple of big hits, almost like explosions, in that track. And that track is supposed to segue into The Day the World Came to an End, which is the last track on the album, which yes. you also played with the slide guitar outro.
Uh-huh.
And there are lines in that song. I mean, between the two big explosions in Prologue and then the sort of the concept of The Day the World Came to an End, the song itself came from one of these days that we've had fairly recently from the so-called Mayan prophecy, yes. where a lot of people thought the world would end and so on.
Yes.
So the song is supposed to be ironic that the world didn't in fact end. And that's yes. why I have lines like satellites with no story to send because nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And so I was driving the kids to school by the lagoon in Rio. And the whole song pretty much came all in one go. And that was kind of a prophecy to me of what happened. This was well before 9/11.
Yeah.
But when 9/11 happened, it was kind of strange. And another one that I'd written back in 1978, believe it or not, talks about, which I'm recording now, so it shows how sometimes these things, as you said before, they leapfrog into the future.
Yes.
There's a line in there about the Tea Party, and of course that didn't exist as a political force in those days, so sometimes it's strange how these things happen.
Yeah, it certainly is.
The sun was red, the sky was blue. It was a beautiful morning. Early mist and fading dew. There was a new day dawning. 8 o'clock was 0 hour. With nothing left here to defend. No ray of hope, no blooming flower. The day the world came to an end. Planes and trains and automobiles. People rowing on the lake. Business as usual, meals on wheels. Cameras clicking in double take. No one bleeding from the eyes. No cascading of hairpin. The sky. The day the world came to an end. Total eclipse all over the globe. A purple haze in the fading light. Midday flickering like a strobe. Darkness at noon and day for night. Newsweek time and the prophets of gloom. Satellites with no story to send. Nostradamus, millennium. The world came to
South of the Border. How about that guy?
Well, I'd like to hereby dedicate that track to you, Cuda. Because I think I'm right in saying that, judging by your accent, you are from south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Yes, sir. you are absolutely safe on that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I first flew into America, I flew into Boston, and then I was staying up in Rochester in the northern part of New York State on Lake Ontario. And as I started traveling around playing music, and I mean, music was really a vehicle for me for traveling. It was a sort of, in a way, a constant paid vacation. I mean, I could afford to cover a lot of territory by playing gigs.
Yes.
When I started venturing down south, it was a dream come true for me, because a lot of the music that I do is very heavily influenced by the South and the Appalachian Mountains and so on. Mm-hmm. And then I did a lot of traveling around the South, and then down across the border into Mexico, and then of course I went down to Brazil. That was in late 68, early 69, the first time I went there. So that was kind of, I had this thing about doing, there's a very famous song called South of the Border, and I sort of wanted to do my own version. So that was what it was.
Way
going to mention a couple, just very briefly, that this song comes from an era that I mentioned before, where there's quite a lot of crosstalk between America and Britain.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the early days of Bob Dylan, we had our version, sort of Bob Dylan Light, which was Donovan, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, I had
Yellow.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah. I ran a record club, so I kind of was doing your job at the time in my school. We used to take over the chemistry laboratory on a Friday lunchtime and play records. And I gave a talk about the life and works at that time of Bob Dylan. This was quite early 60s, I guess.
Cool.
And I started going down to the clubs, and there was a guy who came over from America called Jackson C. Frank. And he kind of brought this kind of finger picking, what we used to call Travis style of picking, sometimes called clawhammer. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people in those days, and later on myself included, they would go on a kind of a pilgrimage down to the south of France and go to places like Saint-Tropez and go busking in the cafes and so on. And some would carry on and go down to Marrakesh and all these kind of places. But it was a certain era and a certain kind of music that was being played at the time. And I think it's still relevant today. The roots are still there.
Catch a boat to England, baby. Maybe to Spain. Wherever I have gone, wherever I've been and gone, wherever I have gone, the blues have run the game. Send out for whiskey, baby, send out for gin. Me and room service, honey. Me and room service, child. Me and room service, while we're living a life of sin. When I ain't drinking, honey, you are on my mind. When I ain't drinking, when I ain't sleeping, child, when I ain't drinking, why you bound to find me crying? Living is a gamble, honey, loving's much the same. Wherever I have played, wherever I've rolled them dice, wherever I have played the blues, they're all the same. Maybe tomorrow, baby, somewhere down the line, I'll wake up older. Oh, so much older, child, I'll wake up older and I'll just quit all my trying. Try another city, baby, try another town. Wherever I have gone, wherever I've been and gone, wherever I have gone, the blues come tumbling down. So catch a boat to England, baby, maybe to Spain. Wherever I have gone, wherever I've been and gone, wherever I have gone, the blues have run the game.
And that's something I might talk about later on, which is modal tunings on guitar. because that brings up other ideas.
Yeah, there's no use to wait till later on. Let's go there now. I mean, we don't...
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an era that I was interested in talking about, which was when I started going to clubs in London in the mid to late 1960s, mm-hmm. before moving to the States. And there was a lot of crossbreeding going on between American music and English music, mostly in the folk area.
Yes.
And what we used to call folk blues.
Yes.
And this then got tinged by some of the traditional music as well, which I got very much into for very many years, still am into, Scottish, Irish, and so on. And the whole Appalachian thing and all the rest of it, old time, bluegrass, et cetera, et cetera. So I was very, very interested in the cross-pollination. And I think partly because it's potentially a long conversation, but if you listen to a lot of Irish pipe music, what they call the elbow pipes, the Ulian pipes, as opposed to the Scottish bagpipe.
Mm-hmm.
The Scottish bagpipe has a drone that never changes. It just stays the same. It's basically three notes that just go throughout the whole tune.
Yes.
The Irish pipes, as you probably know, has got what you call regulators, and you squeeze the bag with your elbow. And the Irish used to joke that while you're playing the Irish pipes, you can drink and smoke at the same time. Whereas you can't with Scottish. But with the regulators, they can actually change the key of the drones as the music drifts around. And so with the tunings on the guitar, and I mean, I guess the most popular would be what's called Dadgad, which is D-A-D-G-A-D.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of emulate those sounds with the guitar. So a lot of us started doing that with accompanying Irish tunes, getting away from the sort of G, C, E minor, D stuff.
Yeah.
And starting to work around a more open modal way of playing. And then this started to leach into the songwriting as well and ways of playing traditional songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of where it came from. And it's a very interesting area to get into as a guitarist, because it gets you away from your kind of standard chord changes and so on.
You have been listening to The Mix Files, and we certainly appreciate that you have. If you haven't joined us in chat yet on Mixposure.com during a live DJ show, please feel free to do that. Come to Mixposure.com. If you're listening to this, you know how to do that. You'll notice the big Mixposure logo at the top of the screen as it should be, and directly below that, you'll see a menu. All the way to the right of that menu is a chat option. Click that, it will bring you to chat complete with a radio. You enter a username, you click login or enter or whatever it is, even though it asks for a password, forget about it. You don't need a password, just come on in. Bunch of friendly people, a good time, and a lot of online collaborations, song collaborations, find their start in the chat room, by the way. You meet some cool people. You're listening to us on Saturday Night Rocks. I'm Cooter. I'm the DJ for Saturday Night Rocks, and I'm also the host for the Mix Files. Mix Files and Saturday Night Rocks comes to you on Mixstream Radio. That is from Mixposure.com. And we appreciate that you have been listening to the Mix Files this week. Hope to see you next week. Later.
Appreciate that you were willing to sit down and do this with me, Brian. And I have had a ball, man. I have had a wonderful time talking with you.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, I thank you very much indeed for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I'm quite sad it's over, because it's been a very enjoyable experience. Well, I think this series that you're doing, the conversations, is a great idea. And long may it continue. And fair play to you for doing it. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
The Mix Files, number 24.